Lord, we do thank you again for another Sunday, another opportunity for us to gather in your name. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless our desire for you. And now, Lord, I surrender to your perfect works and wonder this imperfect messenger who's about to deliver to an imperfect congregation an imperfect message about a perfect Savior. And we ask, Lord, that your grace and glory would abound to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it says in Revelation 14, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And I thought about this regarding Laverne's dad and how being in the Lord makes all the difference. And he was a man of God. And we rejoice in his arrival in the kingdom of God. This morning's message is, as I told you last week, is going to be about living in him. So that's the title of this morning's message, Living in Him. Living in Him. And for those of you who take notes, let me sort of give you a heads up. This subject requires a bit more scriptural support than normal. And so we will not have time to turn to every verse. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, you note takers. I'm going to ask you to write down the point that I make. I'm going to give you the point. And then underneath, just write the verse reference. Don't try to write it all down, and you won't have time to turn to it. And I'm not going to wait for you to find it. I'm just going to read the verse, and you can look it up later if you want, okay? So, and I would encourage you to. That's why I'm giving all of these verses, because it's important to know that what we're talking about is not just a fantasy. It'll sound fanciful, but the verses that I'm asking you to look up and refer to later on will anchor these things for you in truth. Okay, so this morning's message is titled Living in Him. And you can turn to our text verse, which is 1 John chapter 4, 13. You can turn there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. First John 4, not the Gospel of John, 1 John. 1 John 4, 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. If you are taking notes, here's the main idea that I want to develop. In Christ, and you can even put in Christ in quotes, in Christ is a marvelous place to be. In Christ is a marvelous place to be. And if you want to underline be, you can do that too, because that's what we're going to be talking about, being. Living in Christ, in a state of being, being in Christ. In Christ is a marvelous place to be. Now, no matter how you look at it, eternal life is a miracle. Eternal life, we say it all the time, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting or eternal life. But no matter how you look at it, it's a miracle. And this verse that I just quoted you, the 1 John 4:13 verse, it gives us two marvelous aspects of this eternal life that we enjoy, that we are living in today. We have eternal life by faith in Christ. And this particular verse gives us two very important aspects about what it means to have eternal life. Us living in Christ and Christ living in us. Us living in Christ and Christ living in us. They're related and there's some overlap, but these two conditions describe two different supernatural realities. That's what we want to develop. He lives in us and we live in him. His indwelling of each one of us builds intimacy between the Lord and us individually through the work of the Holy Spirit. His indwelling of each of us affects our desires. It affects our perspective. It affects our values. It affects our motives. Last week's message was all about him dwelling in us and the us factor, as we called it, because of that reality. Last week was all about what is going on in your relationship personally with the living God as he creates an us effect and as we work with him to create that effect. What we're talking about this morning is a little bit different. So, what does it mean for us to live in him? First, in him describes our residence. And these are the points I'm going to make. In him, living in him describes our residence. Second, it determines our status. And third, it defines our community. Living in him describes our residence. It determines our status, and it defines our community. So let's take these one at a time. Let's take this first one. Living in him describes our residence. The text says, we live in him. He lives in us, and we live in him. And what a marvelous place in him is. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. For he has rescued us. This is Colossians 1, 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want you to note something about this. It doesn't say we will be rescued and we will be brought. It says he has rescued us and we have already been brought into the kingdom of God. Not physically, not yet. Physically will come later. But spiritually, we have been brought into his kingdom. And that environment is as real as our earthly existence. It's just not visible to us. You are just as present right now in the kingdom of God as you are in Valley Brook Community Church. You are just as really present in the kingdom of God as you will be when you go home in your own residence. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You know, when I came to Christ many years ago, 40 years ago, two things happened. I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The moment that I said yes to Jesus, I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the second thing that happened is that I was immediately transported from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. I was brought to life by His Spirit. When His Spirit comes to live in us, the scripture says we get life. So two things happened when I said yes to Jesus. The Spirit came to live inside of me and I received life. The second thing that happened is I was brought out of darkness. I was taken by the Spirit out of darkness, the domain of darkness controlled by the evil one, where dead people live, people who do not have life. People who have life don't belong in the domain of darkness. That's not their residence anymore. So the Spirit indwelt me, gave me life, and then transported me into the kingdom of the Son He loves, a kingdom of light. And that happened to every single one of you when you said yes to Christ. You did more, something more than just vowing to be a good behaving Christian took place when you said yes to Jesus. The Spirit came to live inside of you, gave you life, and then He put His arms around you, metaphorically speaking, and picked you up and took you and planted you in the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's what happens spiritually. When I became a believer, my best friend said, "Oh man, Frenchie went and found God." In his mind, all he could see was that I'd become religious. He thought I'd decided to turn over a new leaf. I started to go back to church, that I was tired of being Frenchie. All of that was not what happened. What happened is the Spirit indwelt me, and then He picked me up and took me and planted me in the kingdom of the one that God loves. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That's where it starts. The kingdom of God is within you. That's where it starts. And if it doesn't start in us spiritually, we will never see it physically. It starts spiritually. The process has already begun. You are already a part of the kingdom of God when you said yes. You're not going to have to wait to die to get into the kingdom. The moment that you said yes, you were transported out of darkness into this new residence, the kingdom of God. It's where you live now. Spiritually, that's where you live. It's your residence. 1 John 1:5. Tells us about this residence. It says, "This is the message we've heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." In Him there is no darkness at all. So this new residence of yours is full of light. Full of the glory of the Lord. And there's no darkness in Him. Colossians 2:2-3. Listen to these words from Paul. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom..." Here we are, "in whom? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So this new residence of yours, the kingdom of God in which you now dwell, one of the characteristics is that it's a place full of light. There's no darkness, no evil in this place. And the second thing it says is that there are treasures, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in this place, in this new kingdom that you live in. Now note that the treasures are hidden in Him. They're hidden in Him, not by Him. They're not hidden by him. They're hidden in him. And the more that we discover him, the more that we discover the treasures. See, when I take a walk in the morning, one of the things that I've begun to do is, and I told you this last year, and I've stopped doing it now, but I still keep finding these coins. You know, last year I made this little game out of my walk with my morning walk. And if I found a coin, I would, you know, pick it up. And there was an old limerick that goes, find a coin and pick it up and all the days you'll have good luck. Well, I changed that to find a coin and know it's true. The Lord is always mindful of you. And so if I found a penny, I thank you, Lord, you are mindful of me. And what began to happen is last year, I accumulated all this money. I couldn't believe how much money I got. It was like over $1,000 in two years. And it was this crazy thing. I guess the Lord was trying to let me know, yeah, I am mindful of you. Okay? So now I got it. I don't do that anymore, but I'm still walking. I still keep finding these coins and stuff. And what's interesting is I find them in the most unusual and surprising places. And so when I find them, one time I find I'm walking, I'm just minding my own business, and there's one under a bush. And I saw it. And I'm like, no, you know, how did I see that thing? You know? You know? And what became clear to me is that, you know what? And I would say, you never know when, you never know where. You never know how much treasure you're going to find on the ground when you're walking. And I would say to the Lord, Lord, it's not the treasures on earth that I seek. It's the treasures from above that I seek. And what I began to discover, in the same way that I'm doing my daily living and my daily walking, and I find these physical coins as I'm doing my daily walk with the Lord, he reveals these spiritual coins, these spiritual treasures, in the most unexpected places. And I say, Lord, you never know where, you never know when, and you never know how much of your treasures you're going to reveal at any given time. But the treasures are in him. They are spiritual treasures that are reserved for those who are in Christ. Brother Don's not in here this morning, but last week in Sunday school, not today, but last week in Sunday school, we were talking about our relationship with the Lord. And Don was, he got to a point where he's so excited. He said, you know, and sometimes I just think I'm going crazy. Sometimes I just, you know, with all that's going on and the energy and the excitement and all of that, sometimes I think I'm going crazy. And I started to send him a text and I started to say, yeah, I sometimes feel like that too, Don. Feel like I'm going crazy. But don't be afraid of it, because it's a marvelous kind of crazy. It's a craziness that God reveals to those who belong to him. You know, if Jesus is more than a religious concept to you, if church is not a got to, but a want to for you, if fellowship makes you kind of run and rub your hands together and you're looking forward to it and you're excited, if all of those things are your reality, it's because the Lord has revealed those treasures to you. You didn't make that happen. There's no way you could make yourself like church. And we knew that from the time we were this tall. There's no way that we could make ourselves like church. But if we do, it's because the Lord has opened our eyes and revealed the treasures of his truth. And his truth resonates with us in a way that it did not before. Because the Spirit lives in you. And he is opening your eyes to the treasures that are hidden in Christ. That's a part of the residence in which you live. And we're living in a crazy place. And the world thinks we're crazy. The more you talk about Jesus, the crazier you get to the world. And the more excited you get about Jesus, the more you want to talk about him. And so, yeah, the world is probably going to think you're missing a couple of cards from the deck, or maybe you just have some magnificent obsession. But the scripture says the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. And as we get to know him, as we abide in this new residence that is ours, the kingdom of God, we begin to see those treasures more and more clearly. So as our residence in Christ is a marvelous place to be. The second point. The first point is that in Christ defines our, it describes our residence. The second one is it determines our status. It determines our status. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31. It says this, it's because of him, because of Christ, that you are in Christ Jesus. Because of him, not because of you. Let's get that straight. From the beginning, it's because of him. We're here once again. He is the one who brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He did it. And so it says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us, listen to this, he's become for us wisdom from God. And then he defines what that is, our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So in him, we have been redeemed. In him, we are holy. In him, we are righteous. And that is our status because of him. Who was it this morning? I think it was Brother Bill said, we were talking about which verses in the scripture mean the most to you. And Bill quoted Romans 8, 1 through 4. And that's a powerful passage. But, you know, you could really stop at verse 1. Okay, verses 2, 3, and 4 kind of amplify verse 1. You know, verses 2, 3, and 4 tell you why verse 1 is true. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. It determines your status. In Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. You don't ever have to worry about God condemning you. There's no maybe. There's no unless you really do that thing. Because now always means now. And that's all now will ever mean. It means that 5 seconds after you've blown it, it'll say now. It means in the midst of blowing it, it says now. It means 6 years later when you have flashbacks, now. It means you're sitting here contemplating doing it. It's still now. It will never say used to. It'll never say kinda. There's kinda no condemnation, kinda. There is therefore now no, zero, zilch, zippo condemnation for those who are in Christ. In Christ, when you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. It is a part of your status. The verse I quoted from Colossians 1:13, you can write that under this one as well. Because verse 14 says this. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom, here we go again, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So your status, you're in him, your status is redemption and the forgiveness of sins at all times. Because you are in Christ, your favored status with God, favored status, is eternally secure. Eternally secure. You can know and should know that you have eternal life. You can know and should know that it's unequivocal that you are going to be with the Lord forever. That he is in you right now and you are in him right now, and one day you will be with him, the scripture says, forever with the Lord. What we're enjoying spiritually, we will one day enjoy physically. But you should know right now, you are in the process. You're not waiting for it to happen. All you're waiting is for him to say, I'm coming back. That's all you're waiting for. You're waiting for the time to pass when Jesus appears and every eye will see him, and those who remain will be caught up to be with him, and thus we shall forever be with the Lord. Physically, the Jesus who died on the cross is coming back. It's not a state of mind. The physical body of Jesus Christ will one day appear, and those who are in him will be raised to meet with him. And those of us who remain alive will be changed, the scripture says. In an instant. And we'll be caught up. And thus we will forever be with the Lord. Nobody says it better than the brothers who wrote In Christ Alone. In Christ. See, think of being in Christ as, again, your residence. It's where you live. Enjoy the surroundings. Take a look around. Give thanks. Look at how the Lord has decorated your residence, your kingdom residence. Look at the things that he has adorned it with. Redemption, forgiveness, no condemnation. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. The last verse, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Membership in Christ has its privileges. Only we didn't have to pay for it. Jesus paid it all. And so because being in him determines our status, in Christ is a marvelous place to be. And finally, it defines our community. Let me explain. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. The body is a unit. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all, listen to this, every one of us, each one of us, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Being baptized means being placed into. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink, connecting each of us with the rest of his body is what it's talking about. Each one of us being connected with the rest of his body. He dwells in each of us individually, and each of us individually are in him. And collectively, we make up his body. So that is our community. And it's through this community of being connected to one another in him. And oh, the brilliance of the Lord. He didn't just make it an individual thing. You see, in him also involves our connection with one another. It involves our mutual dependence on one another. And it's through this community that we experience greater revelation of him. As we fellowship, as it's called, with one another, we receive greater revelation of him. And through this community, we also receive his protection. We receive his provision. And we receive his instruction through this community that we enjoy with one another in him. Community gives us the opportunity to love and to be loved. Last Friday, you remember I wrote in Just a Moment, those of you who get the newsletter or who get my Just a Moment pieces on Friday, I quoted 1 Peter 2:5. So you can write this down in your notes, 1 Peter 2:5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I said, let's not confuse having a special purpose, which we all have. Let's not confuse having a special purpose with a spectacular one. There is a difference. We have a special purpose, but that doesn't mean that our purpose is going to be spectacular. It's not going to necessarily have a whole lot of spectators. Regardless of how many people notice what we are doing or service for the Lord, in his eyes, each one of us is a precious and important stone in the walls of his temple and of the history of his church. That's each one of us. And so we always have to remember that our sacrifices for God are for God, not for others. And because they are for God, it says they are acceptable to God. It doesn't matter what other people think about it. It says that we've been called and we've been placed into a spiritual house so that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we live, brothers and sisters, in an exclusively inclusive community. Exclusively inclusive. This community that we live in, this kingdom of God experience that we have, this kingdom that we live in, is exclusive in that only those who have placed their faith in Christ are allowed in. At the gate, the credential is, are you in Christ? Only those are allowed in this gated community. And in that sense, it's exclusive. But in the same way, or by the same token, it's inclusive in that anyone who puts his or her faith in Christ is allowed. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter what your nationality, your country, how you were raised, nothing. All that matters is whether you have said yes to him. And in that sense, it's inclusive. For God so loved the world, not America. God so loved America. God so loved the Democratic Party. God so loved the Republican Party. God so loved the world. How much more inclusive can that be? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him, whoever, should not perish, should have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, exclusive. The whole world, inclusive. It's open to everybody. So here's a summary. I talked last week about the us factory, the us factor. So I want to contrast him and us and him to give you a flavor of the difference. Him and us means he's doing his sanctifying work. It's the individual work of the Spirit who is turning us into these fabulous Christs running around. Him and us, his doing his sanctifying work. Us in him means our status and standing before him. Him and us is his ongoing work. Us in him, it is finished. It is finished. Us and him means it is finished. Him and us is our personal relationship with him. Us and him is our connection with the rest of the body, our community. Him and us is personal. Us and him is interpersonal. Him and us is like our own private quarters. Us and him is the entire kingdom complex. And you can't leave the premises. See, once you're in the kingdom of God, you can't leave the premises. Once you're in Christ, because Christ is infinite. You can come out of your private quarters and you can wander and roam as far as you want to go, and you're still on kingdom ground. You can't get away from it. You can't get out of it. And there are marvels to behold that expand from, that extend from one end of eternity to the other. Thank you, Jesus. So you can easily see how when we develop our us factor, as we talked about last week, and if you didn't hear last week's message, this is sort of a combo piece with last week. I'd encourage you to listen to it on our website. So you can easily see how when we develop our us factor, it helps us to enjoy our life in him much better. So take a look around and appreciate your surroundings in Christ, because being in Christ is a marvelous place to be. Consider the word of the Lord. He'll give you understanding in everything. We're going to have communion now.